Bibles this morning, if you turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is a very practical book. It's very simple, and yet some of the things in it are very deep, very wonderful to study. The book of Ruth is about a family that had some struggles. This family that had some struggles made a wrong decision, and the mother of that family paid dearly for the decision. But what we see primarily in the book of Ruth is we see God's tender mercy on imperfect people. It's just a very simple story. And being an imperfect person, I spend a lot of time in the book of Ruth. I find a lot of comfort there. So we'll begin reading the story in chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab." Now in the days of the judges, Moab was a wicked enemy of Israel. They did the unthinkable thing, really, as a family. To go to Moab in the time of a famine was a poor choice. We're not told if it was the husband or the father's choice, but the person who is punished in the story is Naomi. That's the person who's chastened, the mother of the family. Verse 2, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." And again, Moab being enemies of Israel, in the time of the judges, which is the time that we're looking at in history, Moab tortured Israel. At times, Israel were slaves to the Moabites during the days of the judges. This was not... This would not normally seem like a logical decision. This is not normally what the child of God would do, but they did it because they were pressed. They were forced into a corner, which is when we make many of our mistakes. We're in a corner. We make our mistakes there. I understand the situation. And they had two young boys. And, you know, that's a whole other part of the equation. And we got to feed these boys. We got to do something. And we see through the book of Ruth that Naomi is the one who is punished. And again, I don't know if she pressed her husband to make this decision, as many moms of young boys might. You know, we got kids, honey. What are we going to do? We got kids. We're running out of food here in Israel, in Bethlehem. Maybe we should go to Moab. Food's there is cheap, you know. Houses there are cheap. Jobs are there. Maybe we should go there. I don't know if she said those things or not, but it is obvious as you study the book of Ruth that she was the one who was punished. She says in verse number 13 that the hand of the Lord is against me. Against me. The Lord is dealing with me. I know the Lord is dealing with me. She says later on, when she returns to Israel, she says that her name is now Mara because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She didn't say the Lord has dealt with my husband and the mistakes that my husband made, and I'm here because of what my husband did. No, she said, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She bore this on her shoulders. Now, maybe she had said nothing to her husband at all. You know, maybe she was just terrified and really wanted to be in that land. And I don't know. The Lord can judge the heart of people, and maybe he was just judging her heart. But It's unquestionable in this book that she was being judged by God for their move into that land. Maybe she said nothing, but just that's where she wanted to be. And God judged her heart. We don't know. Maybe she manipulated her husband, which, you know, that's really not a hard thing to do. Some women haven't learned it, but a lot of women know. They in Proverbs 7:21, concerning the harlot, it says, with her many pleasant words, she forced him by her words. Women have some power sometimes. There's another harlot in Judges 16:16, and it says, concerning Samson, this is kind of the opposite of Proverbs, not many pleasant words, but in Judges 16:16, it says that she vexed his soul to death. In other words, she talked to him so much he wanted to die. And, you know, sometimes women can do that. I don't know if she did that. That's, you know, but women sometimes can have that power. They can talk to their husbands and we move, you know. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. But I don't know if that was the situation in this passage or not. But God was judging her for them having gone there. And in the Bible, when we look at places in the Bible, geographic places are really spiritual places. They don't have anything, you know, you don't have to worry about accidentally moving to Moab, geographically speaking. They're spiritual places. Moab is a spiritual place. And, you know, the things that happen in our home and the decisions that happen on a daily basis in our home, they take us to spiritual places. And maybe the famine that may be in your home may not be a monetary famine. Could be another kind of famine. Maybe it's a relationship type of famine. Maybe, whatever it may be. Whatever the cause here, Naomi is the one that's being judged for it in this particular instance. And so we see also that she's the one judged because she's the one that's left of her children die in this strange land. Her husband dies in this strange land, and she's obviously being chastened and tortured by the hand of God. It matters not that it's the mom or the dad. It matters not. The point of the message is put yourself in here and find yourself, okay? The point of the message is not to affix blame to anyone in your life or the circumstances but you. And the point of the message is to put yourself in there and look in there. And if you don't put yourself in there, you won't find the grace that's at the end of this book. There's tremendous grace in this book. And so put yourself there. Allow yourself to receive blame. Allow yourself to be the chastened of God so that you can find the grace that's at the end of this book. Because it really is, there's tremendous grace in the book of Ruth. To me, the book of Ruth has one of the most indelible images of Christ of anywhere in the Bible. And maybe that's just me. Because there's many pictures of Christ in many other places. But I can't hardly read, if I'm alone, can hardly read the book of Ruth without tears. I see Christ so apparently. And I see a Christ that's not just for the world when I read the book of Ruth. But I see a Christ that's for Mark. I see help. That's for me when I read the book of Ruth. And that's what I pray that you would find as we read this. So we're going to skip some of the story. Naomi's husband dies in this foreign land. Her children die in this foreign land. And she's empty. She's empty and she hears that God had visited his people as God will. Visit his people. Notice in verse 6, after her children died, her husband was dead. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You know, the ones that stayed back there and were faithful, the ones that stuck it out through difficulty and whatever kind of famine that you may face today, don't think just monetary, because you may be monetarily fine, face other types of famines. But she had heard that God had visited his people. You know, they could have survived back there in that land. And she heard that God had visited them, and she determined to go back. And Pastor preached a couple of wonderful messages about the prodigal. And you can be prodigal, and you can be in a far country and have never, ever left the pew. You say, how can that be? I've done it. You can be prodigal and in the far country and have never left the pew. You can be prodigal and be a good father to some degree. Eventually, you'll be a bad one, but you can be a prodigal and be an okay husband. But you can be prodigal and in a far country in your heart. And we see in this story, similar to the prodigal, we see a return. And she goes back. She goes back very humbly, very broken. She says in verse 8, "And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, 'Go return each of you to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with me, with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may rest, each of you in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, 'Surely we will return with thee to thy people.' And Naomi said, 'Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I should have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And the hand of the Lord goes against you, it affects other people around you, perhaps unfairly. It's messy. Sin and mistakes are messy. There's no perfect solution. She said, "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister has gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." You know, it's interesting about the story of Ruth. Though Naomi had been disobedient, though God had chastened her and worked on her, God still got glory in Naomi's life. God got glory in Naomi's brokenness. And when Naomi was broken, Ruth looked at her and said, "I will never leave you. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. I'm going to follow. I want to follow your God." Even though she saw the destruction and the wasting, still she saw the glory of God in that broken life. God will have glory in His children. He'll have glory either in their brokenness or in their life, one of the two. And Ruth saw the glory of God in Naomi, even through this situation, and followed after her. And so they came back in verse 19. "So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, 'Is this Naomi?'" Which means pleasant. "And she said unto them," verse 20, "'Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me.'" Notice the language that she uses. She recognizes, she didn't just say, "God hath, you know, God punished me." She said, "The Almighty." She left in fear that God was not Almighty. She left in fear that God might not provide. And now she says, "The Almighty. I recognize that He has all power. He has all ability." You know, they made a great, great miscalculation, which we make all the time. They made a great miscalculation, fearing that continuing on the course that they were in, that they would not be provided for in this one area. And it doesn't have to be financial. It might be just, you know, some fulfillment that you need, whatever it may be. Fearing that they would not have that, They made a compromise and went to a place where that was provided. They went to the world, where it seemed as though the thing they were missing was provided. And they made a great miscalculation, because the world could not provide a single other thing that they needed. Could not guarantee the health of her husband, could not guarantee the health of her children, could not guarantee anything else to them at all. It was a great, great miscalculation. And we make that miscalculation every time we disobey God. Think about that. Every time we turn our back on God, we make the miscalculation and we don't realize that nothing in this world can guarantee us health. Nothing in this world can protect our little ones. Nothing. There is absolutely nothing outside the hand of God that can guarantee my health or the health of my children or my life or anything else. There's no guarantees. The world has zero guarantees. When I was growing up as a young boy in the 80s, it seemed like General Motors could guarantee you everything. Well, those days are over. There are no guarantees. They used to say a city job was just about as good as that. Well, those days are over. The world cannot guarantee you. Whatever it's promising, it can't guarantee it. Can't guarantee you sustenance, it can't guarantee you happiness, it can't guarantee you pleasure, it can't guarantee any of those things. And for some reason, every moment when we sin, we turn our back on God and we forget that He's the only one that can guarantee us anything. The only one that can guarantee anything at all. And so she had come to see Him as Almighty, the one that could guarantee everything. And the people that had stayed in Bethlehem had found Him to be Almighty. And she had saw that He had been Almighty to them. You know, it's kind of like the church, you know, when you think about it. The people have wandered away and gone out into the world. It's very similar. But you don't have to leave the church to be in the same condition that Naomi was in. You can still be there every week. And she came back very humbly. She said, "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Notice verse 21. "I went out full." She didn't think she was full when she went out. We never do. Somehow the world gets us to believe a lie that we're empty. Sin always, every time we sin, we have come to believe that we're empty, that there's something that we need. It's terribly sad. It really is. And we believe the lie. But she had come to see, "I went out full." I had everything. I had everything there was. I had my family. I had my children. I had the presence of God in my life. And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Are you empty today? Go home. That's what you do when you're empty. Go home. And again, home is not a geographical place. It's a spiritual one. Bethlehem, Judah, was the center of worship, the center of God's presence. Go home. Go back there. Don't be afraid to say with Naomi, "I'm empty." There's no good. There's no reason to act full when you're empty. But we do it. It's why we sit in prayer group and we don't really pour out our hearts. It's pride. It's whatever it is. It's got to go. Don't be afraid to say, "I'm empty." Notice what the city did. The city came around her. I mean, they just engulfed her. Notice how they loved her. This is what God's people will do. We say, I'm empty. I'm broken. Sin has ruined me. It's the only way. It's the only way you'll get to what you'll find here in the book of Ruth. What we find in the book of Ruth is the story of the kinsman redeemer. In chapter number 2, after they came back and they're empty, they don't have anything, so they've got to be gleaners. In other words, they've got to go out in the field and pick up what's left over from the harvest. And they encounter Boaz, who is a picture of Christ. And Boaz is altogether different from all the other fields that you could reap in. You know, reaping was part of the law. You had to allow reaping to happen. You just had to allow it. It was like FICA and everything else that's imposed by you by the government to take care of other people. You just have to have it. You got to do it. And so they would have to do it. But Boaz was altogether different. In verse number 4, they came to the field of Boaz. Verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, he was altogether different. He was a whole different kind of medicine, a whole different kind of field to reap in. He would come out to the gleaners instead of saying, stay away from my harvesters. He'd come out to the gleaners and he'd say, Jehovah be with you. I want the Lord to bless you. I want the Lord's presence in you. Which is what they needed. That's what the world needs. They need the gospel. They don't need more social programs and all of that. And he recognized that people that were in broken states wandering around his fields, he knew what they needed. And he'd come out to them and he'd say, the Lord be with you. And they would answer, the Lord bless thee. Thank you. It's so much different to reap in Boaz's field. And, well, let's read on. Then said Boaz to his servants who was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather amongst the reapers and amongst the sheaves. So she came and continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz to Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. You stay right here. You stay in my field, and you glean with me. And we could preach messages on everything that Boaz says in here. They're all delightful. They're all wonderful concerning the attitude. He's a picture of Christ. And oh, how desperately, how much Boaz had compassion and care for this broken individual. And how he wanted to care for this daughter-in-law of Naomi. He said, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by the maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, said, why? To me, one of the most touching things when I have repented and turned to the Lord is all the undeserving grace that he pours into my life. All of his goodness. Oh, how it breaks me. I think, why? Why should you be good to me? As a child of God, and this is what we're considering, though it's a message that's equally good for the lost, but as a child of God, when you sin, it's exceptionally heinous that you should turn against God. And yet, for some reason, He pours His grace out on us. Even though we're sinners, even though we're as black as can be as a believer, even though we've done horrible things as a believer, and I think that God should be done with me, yet, notice the grace poured out on the daughter-in-law of Naomi here. And she finds herself on the ground. Why have I found this grace in thine eyes? The book of Ruth is a story not just of grace, but it's a story of grace to believers that have sinned. Believers need to know how to live and deal with their sin. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we lie. In 1 John chapter 2. We lie and do not the truth if we say we have not sinned. But if we sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 2. The book of Ruth is a story not just about redemption. Oh, you can find allusions of just regular redemption. But I find that the idea of the kinsman redeemer that we find in the book of Ruth is particularly for stumbling believers. And we could go on, and I can't, we simply don't have time to read all that's here. Let's read from verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother unto the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Much of this book is a story about Gentile salvation, of unworthy salvation, but also we'll see that it is a story of grace to the stumbling child of God. Verse 12, he said, The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. Thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and reached into her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even amongst the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall some also of handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Oh, the provision that Boaz made for this young woman. What do you do, child of God? Maybe you've sinned such a sin that no longer can you do anything in the house of God. Maybe you've lost your reputation entirely. Just go glean in the fields of the Lord for a while. Just go glean. Just do the simple things that you can do. That's all that the gleaner could do. It's all that they could do. Is just, you know, if you were poor in Israel, you just had to go glean. There was no choice. It was that or starve to death. You just keep moving forward. One step in front of another. Whatever God lays in front of you, you pick it up. Whatever it may be. You pray. You come into the house of God. You feed on those handfuls of purpose that are dropped before you, and you just keep going. You come and glean in the grace of God. We see that the Lord just blessed her and blessed her. And eventually we get to chapter number 4 when he begins to take on the role of a kinsman redeemer. In other words, he was going to take Ruth to be his wife and redeem all of the property of Naomi and her family and be the kinsman redeemer. Chapter 4, verse 1, this was a law in Israel that a near kin could come and redeem all that someone had lost in poverty. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. There was another relative closer to Naomi and Ruth that could be their kinsman redeemer. And so he found this one in verse 1 and told him to sit down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman of Naomi that is come out of the country of Moab, Selleth a parcel of land which was our brother's Elimelech. And I thought to advise thee, saying, Buy it thee before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must also buy it of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. And there's a whole message there. No one else can redeem you. No one else can touch your sinful life without it bringing them down but the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else can bear sin upon his own body and not be marred by such a thing. This near kinsman said, I cannot do it. I can't take Ruth to be my wife. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning the redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's in the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth. You know, Ruth was the problem to the first redeemer. He said, I'd take all the land and everything, but I don't want Ruth. Boaz said, Moreover, Ruth. More than all of that, I'm taking Ruth today. More than all of that, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the inheritance of the dead upon his inheritance. When you became the kinsman redeemer, that firstborn son didn't take your name. It took the name of Mahlon. It took the name of that other dad. This truly was a sacrifice. Your firstborn son would not be yours. There's a lot of things in that we could spend time on as well, but he said, Moreover, Ruth, I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee, this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, and the women of the city, said, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. But notice that phrase there, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee. Oh, how many times we've left the Lord. But blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee. We could all say that. We see the redemption of Ruth, but we see also God's tender mercy towards a fallen saint. Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Oh yes, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ can redeem you from your lost estate and save you from hell. But child of God, he can be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Never lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ as a restorer of thy life, because you will need it. After the time that you're saved, you will fail. You will stumble, you will fall, and you will get discouraged. You will get down, you will get imprisoned. But he shall be unto thee as a restorer of life. He gave you new life one day, and you wasted it. He'll be unto thee as a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Could her sons be replaced? No. Were there permanent scars from the bad choices that they made? Yes. Could life be okay again? Yes, it could. He is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. This child, for all purposes, really became Naomi's. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. He became the grandfather of David. All of this out of a mess. That's the way God works. He is sovereign over everything. If you're lost, I urge you to go and glean in the fields of Boaz today. Go learn of Christ. If you're a child of God, I would urge you to go home. Go back. The Lord has never left thee. You've forsaken him. He has not forsaken you. And he will be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Let him put it back together. It may take some time. There was some time that passed here. You know, it took at least 9 months for this child to be born. There was some time. The Lord blessed, and this little child was the grandfather of David, that great king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel. What a blessing. So go back to the Lord. Go back home. Find grace in his sight. He's very gracious. It's amazing to me that he can be gracious to his own people when they turn their back on him. I don't understand that. I wouldn't give me another chance. But he does. Go back to him. Glean in his fields. Pick up those handfuls of purpose, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. We'll stop there and have a song and be dismissed.